Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, my people. Good evening to my radio audience today. I would like to give the God of Israel, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, all the honor and glory that's due to his holy name this day. I would like to thank the Heavenly Host, the Holy Spirit, the Holy Angels, and the Son of God for all that they have done for me and my family this far. I am here again, people. I am here again to pick it up where we left off Tuesday. This is our law class today. Today is the Sabbath. It's Shabbat today. I would like to say Shabbat Shalom to the remnant, the 10% that will make it out of the New World Order. Shabbat Shalom, remnant. The God of Israel greet you today on his holy day, the seventh day of the week. I would like to sing a song to the God of Israel, Ahayah. Before we get started today, I would like to sing a song to his glory, to his honor, and to his praise. Because truly he's a good, great, holy, wonderful God. All of these years I was serving the wrong God, calling on the wrong names, and doing the wrong things. But today I can truly say today, without a doubt in my mind, that I am serving the God of all gods, the God of the Hebrew nation, the God of Israel, the one and truly only God in this earth, besides the one he made a God, which is Satan. I would just like to say Shabbat Shalom to the God of Israel and his heavenly host, the Holy Spirit. Thank you for your holy day, Father. Thank you for your Sabbath. There is no day, there is no day, there is no day, there is no day like your day. It is the seventh day of the week. It's the seventh day of the week. It is the seventh day of the week. There is no day like your holy day. There's no day like your day. There's no day like your day. There's no day like your day. It is the seventh day of the week. 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 There is no day like your holy day. I give you all the glory on this day. I give you all the praise on this day. I give you all the honor on this day. There is the day of Ahia. It is a holy day. It is the holy day. There is no day like the Sabbath. Shabbat Shalom to the remnant. And we're going to go right into our lesson right now, our law class for today. There is no day like the seventh day of the week. It is a holy day to the God of Israel and his 12 tribes of Israel. It's a great day. It's a holy day, and it's a wonderful day. There's no day like the seventh day of the week, a sanctified day, a day that's set apart, set aside for the glory of the God of Israel. His name is Ahia. So let's go right into our lesson. We're going to pick it up where we left off last week, which was Tuesday. We stopped at law number 476, teaching you about sacrifices and offerings for the God of Israel. Sacrifices and offerings. We are at law number 476. We get in there, people. We are getting there. We are getting there. So before we go into our law class, what I'm going to do, I think I will hold the scriptures and Bible verses that I have for last. God's law versus the law of the land, 610 laws in the Bible, the sacrifices, audio 26. This is Sister Radio Talk Show. I am your host, Elisha Ba. Guest call in number 661-244-9831. I would like to thank the God of Israel for what he's going to do today and the Holy Spirit, the mother. Let's pick it up at law 476. To observe the procedure of the meal offering. To observe the procedure of the meal offering. This is all about sacrifices and the offerings of the God of Israel. It's all about what he wants you to give him for a sacrifice. Not what you choose to give him, not what you've been taught to give him, but what he say that he wants the children of Israel to give him and the Gentiles. They would like to serve the God of Israel. So this is law number 476, talking about the procedure of the meal offering. See, he's a God. The God of Israel is a God. He's the God of the earth. There's no God like him. There's no God before him. And there's no God greater than him. But what you people have done, you have took lesser gods. You have took lesser gods and you calling on lesser gods. And that's why all you people got sickness, cancers, and all kind of diseases in your body. Because you calling on a lesser god. The gods that you people call on can't heal you. They ain't got no power because they not real. They not real. Okay, people? So you dealing with a God, the God of David, the God of Solomon, the God of Jeremiah, the God of Ezekiel, the God of Samuel, Moses, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. You're dealing with a God that requires a sacrifice. requires a sacrifice and offerings. And those sacrifices and offerings don't have nothing to do with what you've given him at the Christian church. He never asks you for no money. He asks you for food. He asks you for produce. So let's pick it up where we left off at to show you what the God of Israel, the real God, the same God that took down Pharaoh and all the other armies that came up against the children of Israel, the Canaanites, the Philistines, and all the rest of them that came up against the children of Israel, his holy people, his holy seed, his chosen seed in the earth. Same DNA as he has. Adam have the same exact DNA. The God of Israel is the one made Adam, created Adam, blow breath in his body. His breath, his life. This is the God I'm teaching you people about. The God that you don't know nothing about at all. At all. Because he's been hinting from the world through the laws of this land. Through the laws of the land, they have hidden the God of Israel away from his people. Away from his people. So, law number 476, to observe the procedure of the meal offering, Leviticus 2, verse 1. I told you Tuesday, a sacrifice is something that you offer, or it's something that you give. It's a animals. Sacrifice means the offering up of animals. And that's what the God of Israel told the children of Israel to do when they left Egypt and got in the wilderness. Should we give him sacrifices today? I hear a lot of you people talking. Do we need to give him a sacrifice today? Because Jesus came. Jesus died on the cross. That's what you've been taught, and that's what you believe. Just because the Son of God came, his name is not Jesus, and he didn't die on no cross either. Why? Because the God of Israel hate graven images. A cross is a graven image. It's a graven image that man made. No, the God of Israel would never let his son die on a cross, a graven image. He did die, but I don't believe it was a cross, people, because that's against the law. For you to even have a cross around your neck, in your house, in your churches, wherever you got them, crosses are graven images. And up under the law, up under the Torah, up under the law, you are not allowed to have a graven image. So no, the Son of God did not die on the cross. That word is injected in the Bible so they can bring forth their religion about the Son of God, Christ, they call him, dying on the cross. Anyway, sacrifice is offering up an animal. So should we keep sacrifice to the God of Israel now? Yes, the Son of God was born. Yes, the Son of God died for the children of Israel as a sacrifice, a perfect sacrifice, because the animals wasn't working, the bulls wasn't working, the goats wasn't working, the lambs wasn't working. The children of Israel were still going off doing the things that they wanted to do. The animals and the bulls and the goats was not good enough. It was not good enough. So when they sinned against the God of all gods, Ahayah, when they sinned against him, the God of Israel, he began to kill millions of them in the wilderness. Millions of them died. So many people died, people, okay? So he sent his son in the earth with a sacrifice. He was the sacrifice for the children of Israel, the 12 tribes. So should we say that the God of Israel, higher, don't want a sacrifice? Of course, he's a God. He's going to always want a sacrifice. He is a God. He must have a sacrifice. So because the Son of God came and became the sacrifice for the children of Israel, that's why you people are still alive today. That's why we are still alive today, and we have committed a lot of sin and a lot of things we have done wrong against his law, against his covenant, against his Torah. A lot of things we have done wrong, things that he told us not to do. And because he sent his son in the earth to be his sacrifice for the children of Israel, that's why we are still alive. That's why your homosexual, your lesbians, your transvestites are still alive and not dead. Torah teach against all of that. Okay, so the Son of God came with the sacrifice. He's the sacrifice. So do that mean that we don't have to give the God of Israel a sacrifice just because his son came and was a sacrifice so you can live and not die in your sin, in your iniquity, in your wickedness, Israel? Gentiles, let's see today. Law number 476, to observe the procedure of the meal offering. Leviticus 2, verse 1. Let's get that, people. Leviticus 2, 1. Leviticus 2, 1. Laws for grain offerings. See, the children of Israel, my ancestors, they had everything that they needed to give to the God of Israel. But because they didn't love him, and because they didn't care nothing about him, and because they did not appreciate the God of Israel, what he done for them when he brought them out of Egypt, because they did not appreciate him, they wanted to take everything that he gave them when they got to Canaan and in the wilderness, everything that he gave them, they wanted to offer it up to all the gods of Egypt, them same old gods that they used to call on and serve in Egypt. When they was in the wilderness, they wanted to take what the God of Israel provided for them and offer it to the gods of Egypt. When they got in Canaan, they went off. They wanted to offer everything that the God of Israel gave them. They began to offer it to the Canaanite gods. Baal. Baal is a Canaanite god. Asherah, Canaanite god. Okay, people? Let me help y'all today because you need help. So we are reading Leviticus 2, verse 1 for Law 476. And when any will offer a meat offering, this is up under the Torah in Leviticus. When anyone will offer a meat offering unto Ahiah, his offering shall be of fine flour. Fine flour. And he shall pour oil upon it and put frankincense thereon. This is a meat offering to the God of Israel that the children of Israel had to do. Had to do. And because they didn't want to do it, that's why they got scattered all across the earth and all across the world. And that's where we, their children, are today, scattered all over the earth. And when any will offer a meat offering, a goat, a lamb, an ox, a bull, a cow, when any will offer a meat offering unto Ahayah, his offering, not your offering, not what you want to choose to give him. It don't go that way. See, all your pagan churches and temples and synagogues of Satan that you people have set up all over the earth, you want to offer, you believe that you offered it to God, you call it, but you don't know what God you're talking about. The God that you're talking about is Jehovah and Jesus. You want to offer them money, go ahead. But the God of Israel don't accept that because he ain't never asked for no money. A meat offering. A meat offering. When you look up the word offering right here in Leviticus 2:1, it says Hebrew number 7:1-3:3. Something brought near the altar. That is a sacrificial present, oblation that is offered or offering. It is a present to the God of Israel. You must give it to the priest, Aaron, so he can take it to the altar and he can prepare it and he can do whatever he needs to do with it so the God of Israel can be happy. See what it is, people. I'm speaking again right now, prophetic. What it is, you people have made the God of Israel angry right now. You are looking at an angry God with all this stuff going on in the earth, the God that created this earth, the God that put me, you here, and everybody else in this earth. He is very, very angry right now. Number one, you people haven't gave him his offering. You haven't gave him his offering. You want to give money, money, money. Don't have nothing to do with that. And when any will offer a meat offering unto Ahayah, it is a present. It is a sacrifice unto Ahayah. A meat offering is a present to the God of all gods. Unto a higher, his offering shall be a fine flour. Do y'all remember grandma and them? They used to take that flour and put it in a sifter and sift the flour. Sift. I remember that when I was a little girl. My grandma, when I used to go to my grandma's house, she cooked a lot of cakes. She put flour in the sifter and sift the flour and make it fine flour. That's the kind of flour the God of Israel wants. Natural. Not no stuff you buy up in the supermarkets and grocery stores and all that stuff. His offer should be a fine flour. It say, for fine flour, it say Hebrew number 5560, to strip flour or chip it off. Fine flour meal. You got to strip it like my grandma and them used to do. And he shall pour oil, olive oil that comes from the tree, real olives that come from the tree. The children of Israel had to do this. They shall pour oil on it and put frankincense thereon. Verse 2, and he shall bring it to Aaron's sons, the priests, and he shall take there out his handful of the flour thereof and of the oil thereof with all the frankincense thereof, and the priests, the Levites, the Haitians in the earth today that don't know who they are, and the priest shall burn the memorial of it upon the altar to be an offering made by fire of a sweet savior unto Ahia. So y'all want to believe, because the Son of God was born in earth, that we don't need to do this no more to the God of Israel. You're absolutely wrong. Absolutely wrong. This is the Leviticus priesthood. This is an order forever. This is an order forever for the priests. No, just because the Son of God was born in the earth, that don't got nothing to do with you giving the God of Israel a sacrifice and a meat offering and a grain offering or whatever offering he requires up under his law. The sacrifice of the Son of God was for you not to die when you commit sin. For Israel not to die when they break the law. That's what that is. And that's absolutely what it is. And that's all it is. He brought salvation to the earth. He brought a better covenant. Meaning that when the children of Israel break the law, the Torah, it's a perpetual covenant. That means it's everlasting, the law of the God of Israel. You cannot get rid of it. It's a perpetual covenant. He told them that when they left Egypt and got in the wilderness. So no, the Son of God didn't come to do away with the offerings and the sacrifices that belong to his Father. He came with a better covenant so the children of Israel wouldn't die. They will live when they break the law. And if you can find any other reason, and they can have eternal life when they leave this earth, as long as they keep the law and do what the God of Israel tells them to do, yes, eternal life is offered to anyone that do that. Not only Israel, Gentiles also. That's all it is. You have eternal life if you obey. And you have some mercy when you commit iniquity and wickedness that you won't die instantly. That's what the Son of God brought in the earth. So next law. Luck, could you please, honey? Hello? I can't see. Turn the light on. Law number 478. I'm sorry. Ooh, where am I? Oh, I can't see y'all. I need some light here. Okay, law number 477. Not to offer up leaven or honey. Leviticus 2:11. Not to offer up leaven or honey. Leviticus 2:11. No meat offering which you shall bring unto Ahia shall be made with leaven. For you shall burn no leaven nor any honey and any offering of Ahia made by fire. Ahia didn't want no honey on his meat offering, and he didn't want no leaven with his meat offering. If you're going to offer him bread, you have to offer him unleavened bread. He didn't want no leaven in the bread that you offer him with his meat offering. And he don't want no honey burned on his meat offering. So the God of Israel, he wants a perfect sacrifice. Even today, he want a perfect sacrifice from the children of Israel. Because we're not in our own land. We're not in Jerusalem. We can't offer him the perfect sacrifice that he wants. Because again, the law of the land have us in slavery right now. We are under their control. We don't have our own animals. We don't have our own land. We don't have nothing that the God of Israel want us to give. It must be in Jerusalem. And even when the Son of God died and went back to sit on the right hand of his Father, Peter and all the rest of the disciples, Paul, they all of them, every time they had a holy day up under the Torah, every time they had a holy day up under the Torah, they had to go to Jerusalem. It didn't matter where they was in the earth. Paul was over there in Asia. Paul was over there in Greece. Paul was over there in Rome. Paul was everywhere. But he had to turn his ship around. And the scriptures in the Bible to prove that. He had to turn his ship around on the day of Pentecost, on the day of Passover, on the day of first fruits, on the day of unleavened bread. He had to turn his ship around. I believe it's 9 holy days in the Bible that the children of Israel had to keep, even after the Son of God went back to sit on the right hand of the Father. He had to turn his ship around and go back to Jerusalem so he can be in Jerusalem on the holy day doing what the God of Israel wanted him to do on that holy day. So no. You can't offer the God of Israel nothing from this pagan side of the earth, Egypt and Babylon. He don't want it. It's defiled. All their meat, all their everything is abomination to the God of Israel. Let me read Leviticus 2:12 now. As for the oblation of the first fruit, those are all the fruit trees that the children of Israel had to, when they got to Canaan, they had to plant them. You shall offer them unto Ahia, but they shall not be burnt on the altar for a sweet savor. So they was not allowed to burn the first fruits that they got off of all their fruit trees on the altar. They had to give them a tenth for that. Next law, law number 478. That every sacrifice be salted. Be salted. Salted. The God of Israel tell you how to prepare meat offering. His sacrifices. He don't want no meat, ain't got no salt on it, people. He's a God of flavor. He's a God of uniqueness. He is a amazing God. Amazing. Words can't even describe the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Words cannot even describe him. 13, for law number 478. That every sacrifice must be salted. Leviticus 2:13. And every obligation of thy meat, Israel, offering shall thy season with salt. Neither shall thy suffer the salt of the covenant of thy God to be lacking from thy meat offering. With all thy offerings, thou shalt offer salt. The God of Israel loves salt. Holy salt, good salt. Salt that comes from the ocean and the sea. That kind of salt. Not this stuff up in these salt processed and all. No, he don't want that salt on his meat offering. And that's why I tell you the truth, the Hebrew Israelites call themselves keeping holy days. And guess what? Salt that they use and the flour that they use to prepare their meat and all the stuff they doing, it comes from the grocery stores. That's where it comes from. Defile, pagan, defile food that the God of Israel do not receive. Salt every obligation. Every obligation of thy meat offering shall thy season with salt. It say Hebrew number season 4414 to rub to pieces or tensely to disappear as dust, to salt, whether internally to season with salt. Rub with salt. You had to rub the meat offering with salt. Season it with salt. Look what it say for salt. Leviticus 2:13. Hebrew number 4417. Properly dust, that is specially salt, as especially pervertized, dissolved salt. It. Yes, it was beautiful natural salt that comes from the earth. So yes, he loves salt. He loves salt, people. And that's why the law of the land, again, people, again, the law of the land, their laws, don't teach you about this God. Your religions that you are falling and involved in and membership of don't teach you about this God at all. At all, people. At all. Look what it say, Leviticus 2:13. And every obligation of thy meat offering shall thy season with salt, neither shall thy suffer the salt of the covenant of thy God to be lacking. So the children of Israel had to keep salt. They had to keep the salt of the covenant. They had to season all the meat with salt for the God of Israel. Thy meat offering with all thy offerings, thou shalt offer salt. Let me just read it in my reading here. Leviticus 2:14. And if thou offer a meat offering of thy first fruits unto Ahia, thou shalt offer for the meat offering of thy first fruits green ears of corn. He loved corn. So he told the children of Israel, you cannot burn no fruits, like oranges and apples and whatever fruits they had over there in Jerusalem, figs. You cannot burn that on the altar. But what you can do for a meat offering, for the first fruits that you harvest out of the fields, green ears of corn dried by fire, even corn beaten out of full ears. And thou shalt put oil upon it. Y'all hear what he's doing with the corn? The corn has to be dried by fire. Roasted corn, I call it. And thou shalt put oil upon it and lay frankincense thereon. It is a meat offering. The corn is considered as a meat offering. That's how sacred the God of Israel law is, his protocol, his ordinances. It's so sacred. It's so honorable. And y'all people really think y'all serving this God? Absolutely not. Absolutely no. You serving a God, a false one. Got statues made to look like them. All your gods that you call on have statues, every last one of them, but not the God of Israel. You can't make no statue for him, and you can't make no statue for his son either. So that your statues of Jesus and all that stuff, crosses and all that stuff, people, let me get going, people. Leviticus, I'm going to stop right there with that. Next law, law number 479, not to offer up any offering unsalted. We read that, must have salt. Law number 480, that the court of judgment shall offer up a sacrifice if they have error in a judicial pronouncement. Leviticus 4:13, let's get that. Leviticus 4:13. And if the whole congregation of Israel sin through ignorance, and the thing be hid from the eyes of the assembly, that would be the 12 tribes of Israel, and they have done somewhat against any of things which should not be done, and are guilty when the sin, verse 14, when the sin which they have sinned against it is known, then the congregation, talking about the children of Israel, they are the congregation, not you Gentiles, not you white folks, not you agents. Y'all are not the congregation of the God of Israel. His name is Ahayah. His congregation is the children of Israel, his 12 tribes, Jacob's seed, Abraham's seed, Isaac's seed in the earth. His seed, Abraham's seed, not by Keturah, not by her, his second wife, by his first wife, Sarah. Not by Hagar, Ishmael, and his descendants. No, by his first wife, Sarah, Isaac. When the sin which they have sinned against it is known, then the congregation shall offer a young bullock for the sin, and bring him before the tabernacle of the congregation. This is what the priest had to do. And the elders, they'll go to the elders, Leviticus 4:5, congregation shall lay their hands upon the head of the bullock. Honey, your phone. Excuse me, people. Lay their hands upon the head of the bullocks before Ahiah, and the bullock shall be killed before Ahiah and the elders. See, the elders didn't teach the children of Israel. They weren't over the church, the temple. They was not over the temple. They was not over the tabernacle in the wilderness. Aaron and his son, the priest, and Moses, the prophet, was over the tabernacle. And the temple, when Solomon got finished building it, Solomon the king, he was over the temple. But the elders was up under him. So no, the elders never, ever, ever had no leadership roles where they led the children of Israel and they told the children of Israel what to do, and they was up over the congregation of the children. No. That's why I tell you Hebrew Israelites, you elders need to sit down and take your rightfully place. Take your rightfully place. You want to go with what the New Testament's saying and not the Torah. How can you go with what the New Testament teach you about an elder or elders and not go with what the Torah say or the Tanakh say? And you say you keeping the law and you believe in the law? No, people. There's something wrong with that. And the elders, Leviticus 4:15, of the congregation shall lay their hands upon the head of the bullock before hire, and the bullock shall be killed before. This is when the children of Israel sinned out of ignorance. They had to have a sacrifice, even though they sinned and didn't know that they were sinning. They still had to have a sacrifice. So, you know, I get a lot of people saying to me all the time, my sister and all kind of people that's been Christians all their life or believe in the Christian church and what they teach. Oh, well, you know, it, you know, when the Son of God was on the cross, they say, he was praying. He told his Father, forgive them, but they don't know what they do. That ain't talking about no sins that the children that nobody was committing. What he was saying, forgive them, Father, for killing me, because they don't know who I am. They don't understand who they kill it, what life they take it, and why. Forgive them for what they don't know. He wasn't praying for people, Gentiles and all kind of people in the world, the children of Israel, to sin and God just going to forgive them like that. It don't work that. Every time you commit a sin, people, against the Torah, against the law, it's consequences. So the Son of God died, it is still consequences every time you commit a sin. Again, the Son of God died so you can have eternal life if you obey the God of Israel. The Son of God died so the God of Israel wouldn't kill you instantly when you committed a sin or commit a sin. That's all it's about. But that don't give you a go-ahead to say you can sin and I just ask God to forgive me and he forgive me. No, it don't work like that. False teaching, false doctrine, New Testament injected Bible verses that don't have nothing to do with the Torah. So the elders had to lay their hands on the bullock for the children of Israel when they committed a sin. Out of ignorance, they didn't even know they were sinning. Just like you people today don't believe in the Torah, don't believe in the law, it's gone away, it's dead, it's no good. You don't know how many sins that you are committing every day. Even you saying that the law is done away with, that's an abomination itself. Just to believe that in your mind is an abomination. Just to think that in your mind, just to believe that the law is done away with, is a great sin in the eyes of the God of Israel. So you people have cursed yourselves over and over and over again. You and your children, you have cursed your own selves. Let me keep going. I'm reading Leviticus 4:15. I read that. I'm going down to verse 16 now, Leviticus 4. And the priest that is anointed shall bring of the bullock's blood to the tabernacle of the congregation. And the priest shall dip his finger some of the blood and sprinkle it seven times before higher, even before the veil. Seven is a sacred number. 7 is a sacred number in the eyes of the God of Israel. So the priests had to take it. You see the elders right there, right? The elders in Leviticus 4:15, Hebrews, they right there, they had to lay hands on the bullock and kill it before the God of Israel higher. And then the priest that is anointed, he had to be anointed and appointed by Moses, a prophet, shall bring of the bullock's blood to the tabernacle congregation. So the elders wasn't doing nothing but what they was told to do. They weren't leading and guiding and directing the children of Israel in the Hebrew scrolls. Never. That's not their job. That's not their rank. That's not their calling, as the Christian church can say. So all that New Testament stuff they got in there by elders and all of that, y'all people, them three little scriptures they got in Timothy and all of that, you can get that stuff out your mind. Get it out your mind, people. Because it is not up under the covenant. Next law. Law number 481. That an individual shall bring a sin offering if he has sinned an error. An error. In era. That's Leviticus. Hold on. By committing a transgression. That an individual, law number 481, that an individual should bring a sin offering if he has sinned an error by committing a transgression. Look at Leviticus 4, 27, 28. Let's go down to the 27th verse of Leviticus 4. And if anyone of the common people sin through ignorance, there go again, through ignorance. The common people. Sound like Gentiles or something to me. The common people. No, I say, truce. Yeah, I say, no, you know, it's talking about Israel. I wanted to make sure that it wasn't talking about Gentiles. And if anyone of the common people sin through ignorance is Hebrew number 4684 for Leviticus 4:27, say a mistake or inverted transgression, error, ignorance, or unawareness, unwittingly. While he does so what against any of the commandments of a higher concerning things which he ought not to be done and be guilty. Or if his sins which he has sinned come to his knowledge, then he shall bring his offering a kid of the goat, a female without blemish for his sins which he have sinned. So the God of Israel do like female goats as well as male goats. And he shall lay his hand upon the head of the sin offering and slay the sin offering in the place of the burnt offering. And again, he had to give it to the priest after he brought in the goat without blemish for his sins. What are y'all giving the God of Israel for your sins? All the sins that you committing, I'm committing, the whole world committing, everybody committing. What is it that we are giving the God of Israel for our sins? Yeah, I can hear y'all saying the Son of God, he already died for that. And I told you, you are absolutely wrong. Because when we get back into Jerusalem, the Levitical priesthood and everything will be set up all over again. The sacrifices of the God of Israel. Why you think it's so many prophecies in the Bible, people? It's so many prophecies in the Bible, Old Testament and New Testament, that says when the children of Israel get back to Jerusalem, when the God of Israel send us back to our land, that he gives us a lot of cattle, a lot of goats, a lot of sheep, a lot of herds, a lot of flocks. Why do you think he's going to restore all of the animals back to us? What, just for us to eat them ourselves? No, we're going to have to offer them to the God of Israel. We're going to have to offer them to the God of Israel. The same exact thing that he told our ancestors to do. When we get back to Jerusalem, we must practice the Torah all over again, the covenant. All over again. Why? Because the God of Israel is going to test us. He's going to test us in the wilderness, the same place that he tests our ancestors. We're going back there first before we even make it to Canaan, the promised land. The same exact way. He's going to give us all of that. So no, people, don't believe in your minds. Don't believe in your souls that you don't have to get a God of Israel nothing, because the Son of God paid it all. Don't ever believe that. Don't ever. He's a God. You must give him a sacrifice. You must give him an offering, a present. He don't want your money. With your all-seeing eyes on them and all kind of Egypt pyramids on. He don't want that stuff, man. He don't want that pagan, defiled money with 666 wrote on it and all kind of stuff wrote on it. So that's how sick y'all people are. That's how crazy y'all people are to try to give the God of Israel some money with all seeing eyes on it, 666 and pyramids and all kind of stuff on it. And God we trust, and that God is Satan that the world trusts in. That's who y'all serve every day of the week, Satan, with all his religion and all his gods. And all their names that represent him. No, you can't give the God of Israel that. He never asked for that. He told you what he wants and how he wants it. So you people are sinning. All your churches is full of iniquity. And that's why the God of Israel told you a week ago, close them down. Next law. Law number 482. Offer a sacrifice of varying value in an ordinance with one's means. Leviticus 5:7. Let's get that. That the law of the land, that's their money. That's their money. That money go along with their system. That money got so much blood on it. It's got so much blood on it. Why? Because they have enslaved people for generations after generation after generation after generation after generation to get their wealth. To get their wealth. Now the mark of identity goes along with that now. The mark of identity, people. You ain't going to be able to do nothing up in this world that belongs to Satan. without the mark of identity, that you belong to him. Leviticus 5:7 for law number 482. And if he be not able to bring a lamb, you got to give the God of Israel what he required. This is why the ancestors got kicked out, because they didn't want to give it to the God of Israel. They wanted to make the grain and the meat offerings and all of that stuff. They wanted to give it to Baal, and that's exactly what they did. Solomon and all the rest of them. And that's why the God of Israel killed millions of them and kicked the rest out and scattered them all across the world. And if Leviticus 5:7, and if he be not able to bring a lamb, then he shall bring for his trespass which he have committed 2 turtle doves or 2 young pigeons unto a hire, one for a sin offering and the other for a burnt offering. And he shall bring them unto the priest, who shall offer that which is for the sin offering first, and wring off his head from his neck. See, you can't cut the pigeon neck off with a knife. You could not cut the turtle dove neck off with a knife, the birds. You must wring their neck off. Wring off his head from his neck, but shall not divide it open asunder. This is how you present the sacrifice to the God of all gods, Ahayah, the God of the Hebrew nation. Law number 483, not to serve completely the head of a fowl brought as a sin offering. We just read that. You cannot cut it off with a knife. You have to wring it. My grandma and them taught me how to do that. My mom and them. When I was a little girl, my grandma had chickens. They used to take the chicken and just turn it and 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 turn it until the neck just pop off. They never cut necks off like they do today. They slaughtering animals all over the earth, chopping their heads off and putting them up in processors, machines, and all kind of madness they doing just to give our people that pagan, nasty food that y'all eat up in them grocery stores. Law number 484, not to put olive oil in a sin offering made of flour. Leviticus 5:11. Let's get that. Go down to the 11th verse. But if he be not able to bring 2 turtle doves or 2 young pigeons, then he that sin shall bring for his offering the 10th part of an ephah of fine flour for a sin offering. He shall put no oil upon it, neither shall he put any frankincense thereon, but it is a sin offering. So you couldn't put no frankincense. You had, if he couldn't bring the turtle doves and the young pigeon for a sin, the children of Israel, he had to get 10 part of an ephah of fine flour. Fine flour to the God of Israel. Why? Because the God of Israel higher, he loves fine flour. Because he wants you to give it to him for his meat offering. For his meat offering, he like you to put fine flour on his meat and salt, sea salt, original salt that comes from his elements that he made. Next law. Law number 486. That an individual shall bring an offering if he is in doubt as to whether he has committed a sin for which one has to bring a sin offering. Leviticus 5:17. Let's go down to that. Same chapter 17 verse. And if a soul sin and commit any of these things which are forbidden, y'all sin it all the time. We sin it all the time, people. Believe me. We sin it all the time. If a soul sin and commit any of these things which are forbidden to be done by the commandments, this is how you know you are sinning. You have to go and look at the 613 laws that's wrote up in the Hebrew scrolls. You can't go look at 10. You cannot go look at the 10 commandments and see your sins in those commandments. Because a lot of those commandments in the 10 and Exodus 20 don't have all the commandments that is written up in the 613 Hebrew scrolls. You see what the Bible is saying right here? Leviticus 5:17. If a soul sin, this how you know you sin it when you break the commandments. When something is written in the covenant for you not to do, and you do it, you are sinning. You are sinning against the God of Israel. And if a soul sin and commit any of these things which are forbidden to be done by the commandment of Ahiah, though he risk it not, yet is he guilty and shall bear his iniquity, people. Though he risk it not. Look what this word say now. Let's take out a little minute right here. Because you got a lot of people believe in this earth today that the Ten Commandments is all you got to keep. The Ten Commandments is all you got to know. Matter of fact, I had a brother come on this platform today, G-O-C-C. G-O-C-C. And he made a statement. And the statement that he made, Elder Ricasiar of GOCC Church, the Gathering of Christ Church, he said, Elder Ricasiar said, the will of his father is the Ten Commandments. So he told all the congregation, all his people today, that the only thing y'all got to do is do the Ten Commandments. Oh, my God, people. How can their brother let that come out of his mouth, man? He say he into the truth. He say he into the God of Israel. He say he is a Hebrew. How could he let that come out of his mouth? That all we got to do, all his father, Ahiah, he says his father, all his father required is that we keep the Ten Commandments. False doctrine and false teaching. Leviticus 5:17 will clear that up. What that brother was teaching is false. And if a soul sin, it don't matter if it's your mama, if it's your daddy, if it's your little girl, your little boy, your sister, if any soul sin and commit any of these which are forbidden to be done by the commandments. It's a commandment collectively, the law. The law. It ain't got nothing to do with 10. It have everything to do with the 613 laws that's wrote up in the Torah. It say the law for commandments, precepts, ordinances. What ordinances is you going to get in the Ten Commandments besides do not bow to a statue, keep the Sabbath day, don't make no graven images, don't kill nobody, don't commit adultery, and don't covet your neighbor's wife? That is nowhere near the commandments that the God of Israel tell us we got to keep. That's only 10. You cannot get on your platforms you preachers and you leaders and all y'all people teach the same stuff, that we only got to keep 10. What scripture is that? God of Israel tell us just to keep 10 commandments. He told the children of Israel to keep all his commandments. He didn't say nothing about no 10. So again, G-O-C-C-I-U-P and all of them people, they are into a doctrine that was taught to them by their elders and their leaders. It ain't got nothing to do with the God of Israel, people. I'm trying to tell y'all that. Listen to me. Look what it said in Leviticus 5:17. If a soul sin and commit any of these things which are forbidden to be done by the commandments, it didn't say 10 of a higher, so he risks it not. The word risk, W-I-S-T. Hebrew number 3045, for risk. You know what it say, people? To know. Though he know it or not. You know the commandments or you don't know the commandments. It say Hebrew 3045, to know properly, to assert by sin. Though he risks to know it not, yet is he guilty. So even if you don't know the law and you teach the law dead and the law done away and you don't read it and you ain't got to read it and you ain't got to know it and all you got to do is keep the 10, the God of Israel say right here in Leviticus 5:17, Ahaya, you are guilty. You are guilty. If you know it or you don't know it, you still guilty. You still guilty. So y'all people can get out of all that stuff talking about Jesus died and he told his father, forgive them for what they don't know. He wasn't talking about no law there. He wasn't talking about the law. He wasn't asking the God of Israel, his father, to forgive the people for breaking the law. He didn't say, he said, forgive them for what they don't know. And what they didn't know, that he was the Son of God. That's what he was praying for, that they didn't know he was the Son of God. So it say right here in Leviticus 5:17, you can know the commandments or you don't have to know them. You are still guilty, it say, and shall bear his iniquity. Iniquity. Hebrew number 5:7-1, perversity, jacking off. That's not in the Ten Commandments. Masturbating. So how can you churches and you bishops and you pastors and you leaders and you Hebrew Israelite leaders teach that you only got to keep 10? Is masturbation in the 10 commandments? No, it's not. But it's up under the law. It's in the Torah. It's in the Torah. It's up under the covenant. Is it up under the law? Is that in the Ten Commandments that a man can have sex with another man? That's not there either, is it? But it's up under the covenant, the 613. Is it in the Ten Commandments that a woman can have sex with another woman? No, it's not. See, that's how you people get away with all your wickedness and all your evil that you committed against the God of Israel. Because you got these sick, satanic leaders teaching you that you only got to keep 10. And the 10 that you are trying to keep don't say nothing about your perversity and your more evil that you are doing. Do the Ten Commandments teach you that you can't eat pork? No, it don't teach that. And I can go on and 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 on, people, naming commandments up out of the covenant that the Ten Commandments don't say nothing about at all. Again, law of the land, Christian church madness. Hebrew Israelite madness. That's what it is. Madness. So the God of Israel say, you are guilty. Let me go to the next verse. Leviticus 5:18. And he shall bring a ram. So you don't have to know the law. You don't have to read it. You don't have to do none of that. But when you stand before the God of Israel, the books will be open. They will be open. And he's going to judge you according to his law, according to what he wrote, according to what he put in the earth for us to do. That's what you're going to be judged by. The law, the covenant. Not how long you've been a Christian, how long you've been in the church, how much money you don't gave your bishop. And he shall bring a ram without blemish out of the flock with thy estimation for a trespass offering unto the priest. And the priest shall make an atonement for his concerning, for him concerning his ignorancy where he erred and wist it not, and he shall be forgiven him. You got to have a priest. You got to have a prophet of the God of Israel. The priest must make the atonement for you. The Son of God made a atonement for us. That atonement is that the God of Israel forgave the children of Israel and gave them a way back to the Father through his blood, through his sacrifice, his own life. Verse 19. It is a trespass offer. He have certainly trespass against the high. If you do know it or you don't know it, it don't matter. You broke the law. You broke the law. You're going to have to wait, brother, for but another hour. Or you can go ahead. You want him to kick, still call your taxi? Excuse me, people. Yeah, you want a taxi, honey. Call him a taxi. Call him a taxi.
Well,
one moment, people. Give me a minute. What you say? I can't hear you. Any what?
What?
Yes, please. If you give me an hour, CD, I'll be finished. And then we can leave all together. Like 45 minutes to hour. Okay, he want to go to Malamo. Just call him a taxi. Call him a taxi. Because we got it. When I get through with you, man, you're going to leave. I ain't going nowhere till the sun go down. So call him a taxi. Yes, people, sorry about that. Yeah, I would like some water, bro. Thank you. Okay, people, so next law. Law number 487, that the remainder of the meal offering shall be eaten. Leviticus 6:9. You can't leave it overnight. You gotta eat it up. Leviticus 6:9. Command Aaron and his son, saying, this is the law of the burnt offering. It is the burnt offering because of the burning upon the altar all night until the morning. And the fire of the altar shall be burning in it. And the priest shall put on his linen garment. What did I tell you? They didn't wear no suits and all that stuff. And his linen breeches, shall he put on his flesh and take up the ashes with the fire that have consumed, which the burnt offering on the altar, and he shall put them beside the altar. Bro, this is what I need. Give me a minute, people. Are you going to near the grocery store or no? You know, just go to what's the name? No, Guadalajara Pharmacy. Yeah, and just get me, I need the polish, okay? Yeah, I need clear, okay? Everything else I get later. But I do need that, okay?
one over there by Walmart across the street. Yeah.
Hello? Yes, people. Sorry about the interruption. So next law, law number 488, not to lie, we read that, Leviticus 16, yes. Law number 489, that the high priest shall offer a meal offering daily. Leviticus 6:13, let's read that. 13 verse. The fire shall ever be burning upon the altar. It should never go out. The fire should ever be burning upon the altar. It should never go out. See, this is the altar of the God of Israel. Not all them pagan altars y'all got set up in all your pagan temples called churches and ministries. Not those altars. Those are altars to Satan. Those are synagogues of Satan. That's what they are, synagogues of Satan. They say they Jews, but they are not. That's who they are, synagogues of Satan. All your Christian churches are synagogues of Satan because they say they Jews. You say you Israel, you the new Israel, but they are not. They do lie, and they are the synagogues of Satan. Revelation 3:9. You want to read that? Go read it. The next law. Law number 6:13. The fire should ever be burning upon the altar. It should never go out. Law number 490. Not to eat of the meal offering brought by Aaron and his son. Leviticus 6:16. Go down to the 16th verse. 6th chapter. And the remainder thereof shall Aaron and his sons eat with unleavened bread. Shall be eaten in the holy place, in the court of the tabernacle of the congregation shall they eat at. The children of Israel was not allowed to eat whatever they wanted to eat and put on the altar, whatever they wanted to put on the altar. It had to be up under the law. It had to be exactly what the God of Israel wanted it to be. Law 491. To observe the procedure of the sin offering. Leviticus 6:18. Leviticus 6:18. All the males among the children of Aaron shall eat of it. It shall be a statute forever in your generations concerning the offerings of Ahiah made by fire. Everyone that touches them shall be holy. Only Aaron. All the males among the children of Aaron shall eat of it. It shall be a statue forever, people. Forever. So when the new kingdom comes, it's going to be the same Leviticus priesthood in control of the offering of the God of Israel. It's a statue forever. Forever. That's why he's going to give us cattle and herds and all kind of stuff. The Bible prophecy that the children of Israel going back to Jerusalem and the God of Israel going to restore all the cattle and everything to them. Why? So we can come forth with his sacrifice, with his offering. Exactly, people. It's a statue forever. Law number 492. Not to eat of the flesh. I'm going to take this all the way down to law number 500, people. And we have 113 more laws, and we are finished. We are finished. Thank you, God of Israel. Law number 492. Not to eat of the flesh of sin offerings, the blood of which is brought within the sanctuary and sprinkled towards the veil. Leviticus 6:23, the same chapter 23 verse. For every meat offering for the priest shall be holy. Burnt it shall not be eaten. We got to have the priest back. Judah can't take the priest's place. Judah can't nobody take the priest's place. The God of Israel is only going to accept the Levites, which is the Haitians in the earth. When he cleaned them up and restored the remnant back to Jerusalem. Law number 493, to observe the procedure of the guilt offering. Leviticus 7:1. Let's get that. A lot of laws in Leviticus, in Deuteronomy and Numbers. Leviticus 7:1. A lot of them in Leviticus. Leviticus 7:1. Likewise, this is the law of the trespassing offering. It is most holy. In the place where they kill the burnt offering, they should kill the trespass offering, and the blood there shall he sprinkle round about upon the altar. Okay? Only the priest can do that. What are y'all doing with y'all altars in the Christian church? What are y'all doing with y'all altars in the Muslim churches? What are y'all doing with y'all offerings? Y'all altars, I mean. You're not doing what the God of Israel wants. You can't. You're not in Jerusalem. All your temples are pagan. It speaks for itself. Because everything that y'all people doing is not up under the law. Absolutely nothing that you people are doing in your pagan churches and mosques and synagogues and all that stuff have anything to do with what the God of Israel, his sacrifice, his offering requires. Law number 494, Leviticus 7:11. And this is the law of the sacrifice of peace offering, which he shall offer unto Ahia. And this is the law. Excuse me, people. Give me a minute. Oh. And this is the law of the sacrifice of peace offering, which ye shall offer unto Ahia. God. Law number 495, to burn meat on the holy sacrifice, to burn meat of the holy sacrifice that have remained over. Leviticus 7:17. Let's go get that one. But the remainder of the flesh of the sacrifice on the third day shall be burnt with fire. If any of the flesh of the sacrifice of the peace offering be eaten at all on the third day, it shall not be accepted, neither shall it be imputed unto him that offer it. It shall be an abomination, and that soul that eat of it shall bear his iniquity. Law number 496. We read that. Law number 497. Not to eat of a holy thing that have become unclean. We read that 419. Let's get that. Not to eat of anything, law number 497, that has become unclean. 719 of Leviticus. And the flesh that touch any unclean things shall not be eaten. It shall be burnt with fire, and as for the flesh, all that be clean shall eat thereof. Law number 499. Law 498, to burn meat on the holy sacrifice that has become unclean. Law number 499, that a person who is unclean shall not eat of the things that are holy. Law number 499, Leviticus 7:20. But the soul that eat of the flesh of the sacrifice of peace offering that pertaining to the higher, having his uncleanness upon him, even that soul shall be cut off from his people. Law number 500. A priest's daughter who pronounced herself shall not eat of the holy thing, neither of the heave offering, nor of the breast, nor of the shoulder of peace offering. Leviticus 10:14. Let's get that. This last one, 500, law 500. And the wave of breast and heave shoulder shall he eat as eat in a clean place, thou and thy sons and thy daughters with thee, for they be thy due and thy sons' due, which are given out. Get out of here. Get out. Go on. Excuse me, y'all. Which are given out of the sacrifices of the peace offering of the children of Israel. Go outside. Next Bible verse, Leviticus 22:12, for law number 500. If the priest's daughter also be married unto a stranger, she may not eat of an offering of the holy thing. If the priest's daughter also be married unto a Gentile, a stranger, a Gentile, up under the covenant, Israel was not allowed to marry any other nationality but they own. They had to be a Hebrew. They had to be a Jew. They had to be from the seed of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And if they wasn't from that seed, they are considered as a stranger. They Gentiles. The daughter also be married unto a stranger. She may not eat of an offering of the holy things. But if the priest's daughter be a widow or divorced, this not up under the Ten Commandments. You'll never know this up under the Ten Commandments. See how them leaders teaching false teaching and doctrine? But if the priest's daughter be a widow or divorced and have no child and is returned unto her father's house as in her youth, she shall eat of her father's meat, but there shall no stranger eat thereof. Can't no stranger eat it. Can't no Gentile eat the holy thing of the priest or of the God of Israel. So with that, people, we took it all the way down to law 500. We're going to pick it up Tuesday at law number 501. Same topic, the sacrifice and the offering. Going to pick it up at 501. We got 113 laws, and we have established in the earth that the God of Israel law is holy, that the God of Israel law is good, that the God of Israel law is just, and we must keep it. To serve the God of Jacob, we must keep the law. We must keep the covenant. Not the law of the land. Not the law of the land. The laws of the land, the God of Israel, don't have nothing to do with those. Those laws were set up by their God, the same God that's on their money. Okay? The same God that's on their money is the one that set up all their laws in this earth. The Bible says you can't serve two masters. You either love one and hate the other one. Satan is the God of this world. That money that y'all people call yourself offering God, yeah, your God, not the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, not a higher, not the God of Israel. Yeah, Satan himself, that's his money. The God of Israel ain't never told you to work and get no money. You're supposed to work for him and him only, Hebrews. So you're wrong right there, number one. So, yes, people, we are talking about a holy God with a holy law. Volcanoes, all kind of things. You people, I'm telling you, people. You people just won't quit. You people just won't give up. You people just won't stop. Because you got it made up in your mind that you blessed. How is you blessed? That's the question I'm going to ask you. How are you blessed? Because you got a job? You blessed? Because you can pay your bills? You blessed? Because you woke up this morning to a miserable life? You blessed? Sickness and disease and pain and mental illness and poverty and all. You blessed, huh? You are deceived, people. You have deceived your own selves. This is God's law versus the law of the land. 613 laws in the Bible. The Sacrifice, Audio 26, Sister Sister Radio Talk Show. I'm your host, Elisha. Let's pick up the scriptures now, people. Let's pick up the scriptures. I only have two today. Jeremiah 13, 12 through 27. Jeremiah 13, 12 through 27. Brother. And this another statement that Elder Ricasiar made of the Gathering of Christ Church today on his YouTube platform. If we keep the Ten Commandments, God will fix everything. Oh, my God, people. How could that brother say that out of his mouth? If we keep the Ten Commandments, everything in our life will be fixed. False teaching, people. False, false, false teacher. He said, Christ is the truth. Christ is the truth. When did Christ ever tell anybody that he was the truth? He said, he that sent me is true. That would be his father. See all this false teaching and doctrine that you people are receiving? That's why you're not getting nowhere. You ain't getting no edification. You ain't getting no growth. You ain't getting nothing. You study getting spaced out. Every Saturday and every Friday, you get more spaced out with the way these spaced out leaders are teaching you. They spaced out. And they're spacing y'all out. You get spaced out more and more and more and more and more. The Son of God never focused on himself when he walked the earth. Whenever he focused on his Father. He said, my Father is true. I teach whatever my Father told me to teach. I come to give you his doctrine. He is the truth. He is the truth. He is the way, the truth, and the life. He ain't never bragged on his own self and talked about his own self and pointed the finger back at his own self. He said, my father, me. His testimony of me is true. Whatever he said about me, that's true. But you got all these Christian church leaders, like Elder Ricard, all the rest of them, teaching you that Christ is the truth. Christ is the truth? I thought God the Father is the truth. Christ is the Son, the Mashiach in the Hebrew, not no Christ, the Mashiach, Messiah in English. Yeah, he true. He true because he's the Son of God. He the second king. The first king is his father. He is the second king and rulership. Up in heaven and in earth. Yes, he's true. But why so much focus, man? Why so much focus on the Son of God? Why so much focus? Why your focus is not on the Father? Why your focus is not on the God of Israel? Why your focus is not on the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob? Why your focus got to always be on Christ? Christ. Christ. You know why? Because that's the way the law of the land have taught you and all your allies. They have taught you people. All your religions and ministries have taught you to focus on Christ. Christ. That take the focus off the Father and put it on the Son. The Son of God never did that, people. He never, and if anybody can show me where he did it, please come on here and tell me. Please come on here and give me a scripture where the Son of God talked and bragged about his own self. He never did it. He always centered the attention right back to his Father. He said, the one that sent me is true. So that makes me true. The one that sent me is true. The one that sent me is all-knowing. The one that sent me is got power. That give me, that make me have power. He true. And because he is true, and I'm his son, that makes me true. That's exactly how that goes. He always focused on his Father. He gave his Father all the glory. All the glory when he walked the earth. All the power, all everything. He gave it back to his Father. He didn't never want it to go off of him. That's why he told the Pharisees, you don't know my Father. You don't know him. You don't know the one that sent me. Your father is of the devil, and the lust of your father you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, not a born in the truth. And that's what's going on right now with all this satanic teaching and all the satanic doctrines that we got up in the earth that may have made you people mad and crazy. Crazy. You do crazy things that the God of Israel have never told you to do. I want to point everything at the devil, Satan, the devil. Man, shut up. The devil ain't doing nothing but deceiving y'all sick-minded people. That's all he doing, deceiving y'all with your religions and your doctrines and your laws of the land. You want to know what the devil doing? I'm going to tell you what he doing. And the God of Israel is the one that dropping people like flies every day. He's taking people out of this earth. Why? Because you people are sinners. You have went against his Torah. You have went against his covenant. You have went against his law. You have went against him. You are sinners. And that's who he killing. Sinners. He's not finished yet. He's not finished. Who is he? The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. The God of Israel. That's who he is. He's not finished yet. He's just getting started, people. You really want to know the prophetic. He's just getting started. So with that, I'm going to go to Jeremiah 13, verse 12 through 27. And I have one more precept after that. And with that, I say I'll talk to y'all Tuesday. Jeremiah. You think the Son of God want people lifting him up? You think the Son of God, Yeshua, my Savior in the Hebrew, lifting him up? He never wanted a man to lift him up. He never wanted a man to pray to him. He never wanted a man to bow down to him. He never wanted a man to sing to him. He never wanted a man to clap to him. Clap to my Father, which is in heaven. Lift him up. Glorify him. Give him the praise. Give him the honor. Because he is. I need and everything that you need. Y'all some sick leaders. Y'all some sick leaders. And you got sick little dumb people following you. Yeah, I'm going to open up the schools, Lord of Land. Let's open up the schools. I told y'all people. I told y'all people 3-4 months ago before you even open the schools up. Don't do it. Don't do it. Don't send your kids to school. The God of Israel don't want you sending your kids to school. What scripture is that? What scripture is that that the God of Israel told you to put your child in a school? Now look at him. I read on the news today, a little 15-year-old girl. She just turned 15, had her birthday, died from COVID-19. Say her heart got infected. Her heart got infected. The COVID-19 killed the 15-year-old girl. Where did she get it? From school. From school. Your beautiful school that your governments have set up, people. You love it, don't you? You love it. Keep on, people. Phone. Y'all don't want to listen to me. The one that the God of Israel have put in the earth to correct you, to tell you what you're doing, and don't do it. You don't want to listen. But the more you don't listen to me, I am his prophet. The more you don't listen, the more he going to show y'all that what I am saying to y'all and what I am speaking to y'all is the truth. I told you, don't send your kids to school. There's so many kids got COVID-19, Matt. Up in them schools, going to schools, giving it to their parents and all kind of stuff. No, the law of the land, they made a law that if you don't send your kids to school and do what they say, there's consequences. That's why the God of Israel got to exit the remnant up out of here. We got to go, remnant. We got to go. We got to get up out of Egypt and get back to Jerusalem. You know what I was thinking today? It came to me today. I was laying in my bed. every place, city, country in this world is defiled. Everywhere in this earth is defiled. But Jerusalem is the only place in this world. Jerusalem is the only place in this world that's not defiled. Every place else on this earth is defiled. Jerusalem is the only place that's not defiled, people. You know, it never came to me like that. It never came to me like that until today. That's why the God of Israel kicked the children of Israel out of Jerusalem, because they was defiling it. And he's not going to go for that. He's not going to accept nobody polluting his land, polluting his city. That's the only place in the world where they're not serving other gods. Everywhere else in this earth, people are serving, and it's prophetic, because it was revealed to me in the prophetic. It came to my spirit. The Holy Spirit revealed it to me. Everywhere else is defiled, people. That's why he's preserving it. He's preserving Israel. He's preserving Jerusalem, a remnant, to go back to their land. And the ones that he takes back there, they got to be right with him. They got to keep the covenant. They got to be right with him. They can't put nothing, no man, no gods, no nothing before him. That's the only place in the world where false gods are not being worshipped. Everywhere else, false gods are being worshipped. Statues and all kind of stuff. Not over there in the holy mountains of Jerusalem. Jeremiah 13:12-27. Therefore thou shalt speak unto this word. Thus said a higher God of Israel, every bottle shall be filled with wine. And they shall say unto thee, do we not certainly know that every bottle shall be filled with wine? The God of Israel loved wine. The children of Israel had their own vineyard in Jerusalem. They made their own wine. They had plenty of wine in the storehouses over there in Malachi chapter 3, where the man robbed God. Yeah, you have robbed me with tithes and offerings. He was talking to the children of Israel. And the priests, they went off. They started doing what they wanted to do with his tithes. So, yeah, the children of Israel had their own wine, their own vineyards. They made their own wine. So Jeremiah was telling the children of Israel, what thus said the God of Israel, every bottle must be filled with wine. And they shall say unto thee, do not we certainly know that every bottle should be filled with wine? This is a perfect God, man. He's a perfect God, people. He is a perfect, perfect, holy, beautiful, righteous God. I'm in overtime. Righteous God. No one will ever, ever, ever come close to the God of Israel, a higher. Yes, he drank wine. Yes, he liked wine. Yes, the children of Israel had wine. Yes, they drank wine. Yes, they had strong drink, vodka or whatever liquor they want. They made their own. Jeremiah 13:13. The wine was his drink offering. When they made his meat offering, they had to give him his drink offering to go right along with that. Jeremiah 13:13. Then shall thou say unto them, little 15-year-old girl died from COVID. Died from COVID. Not only her. You got a lot of them dying that's not even being broadcast in the news. Believe me, people. Then should I say unto them, thus said Ahiah, Jeremiah 13:13. Behold, I will fill all the inhabitants of this land, even the kings that sit upon David's throne, and the priests and the prophets, and all the inhabitants of Jerusalem with drunkenness. With drunkenness. Toxication. So he told Jeremiah, I'm going to get all of them drunk. Make sure they fill all the wine bottles up, Jeremiah. Make sure they fill every last one of them up. And the prophets and the priests, I am going to make them drunk. I don't see no pastor nowhere. That word pastor don't mean what y'all people think it means. Pastor was over pastors. They's like shepherds. They the ones that took care of the flocks and the herds. It ain't got nothing to do with leading the children of Israel. He said, I'm going to make them all drunk, the priests and the prophets. Fill the wine bottles up. And look what he said in verse 14. Once they get drunk, all the kings, that sit upon the throne of David, that would be from the tribe of Judah. They the king tribe. I'm going to make every last one of them drunk, intoxicated. This is what the God of Israel told Jeremiah the prophet. And when you look up the word drunkenness in the Hebrew, but Jeremiah 13:13, Hebrew 7:9-3, intoxication, be drunken, drunkenness. And I ain't talking about drunken no Holy Ghost and none of that stuff y'all think it's talking about. And I would dash them one against another, even the fathers and the sons together. Said Ahiah, I will not pity nor spare nor have mercy but destroy them. I'm going to get them drunk first, Jeremiah. I'm going to get them drunk. And after I get them drunk, because they want to take my drink offering, my wine, what I told them to give me, my 10%. And they want to drink it and do whatever they want to do with it. So guess what, Jeremiah? Tell them, I'm going to make them drunk. I'm going to make them intoxicated. And after I make them drunk, I'm going to kill them. I will dash them one against another. When you look up the word dash, what do it mean in the Hebrew? Hebrew 5:3-10 for dash. To dash to pieces, be beaten in sunder, break in pieces, broken, dash in pieces. I'm going to kill them, Jeremiah, and I'm going to scatter them all over the earth. That's what I'm going to do, Jeremiah. I will dash them into pieces, one against another. They're going to be so drunk, they're going to run into each other and kill one another and hurt each other, their own self. Even the fathers, it doesn't matter who it is, Jeremiah. I'm going to kill the daddies and I'm going to kill the sons. Dash them into pieces. Break them in pieces. The father and the sons together. Y'all don't know this God. You don't know the God of Israel. You don't know Ahaya. You don't know this God. This God will recompense your ways back on you. He's going to pay you back. You go against the law. You go against the Torah. You break it. He's going to pay you back. It doesn't matter that his son came and bought it and, you know, and died. And it doesn't matter about that. What he say in his law, that's what he mean. That's what he mean. When you go against what he say, you going to pay, people. I'm going to pay. We going to pay. Everybody going to pay. And that's why he told Jeremiah, I'm going to kill the daddies and I'm going to kill the sons. And that's what's going on in the earth today, people. That's why you got a lot of daddies dying, sons dying, kids dying, mama dying, all kind of stuff dying. And I will not pity. I will not spare them, Jeremiah. I will not spare them. I ain't going to have no compassion on them. Pity means compassion in the Hebrew. He angry right now. He was angry back then, and he angry right now today. He more angry today than he was back then. I read in the news today that 700,000 people done died from COVID-19 in America alone. They said there was more people died from COVID-19. And guess what? It ain't even finished and it's not even over yet. They said more people died from COVID-19 than World War I. My God, people. You still saying that you have some control? I'm going to dash them in pieces. I will not pity nor spare. Nor have mercy. Don't think you're all loving God now. That's what you've been taught through your religion, through your protocol, through your doctrine, that he's an all merciful God. He's all love. All he's going to do is bless me. Bless me. He's never going to hurt me. He's never going to do nothing. I will not pity them, Jeremiah. And I will not spare them, and I will not have no mercy. I will only destroy them, kill the children of Israel. He told Jeremiah, I'm going to destroy them. Keep playing, people. Keep playing. Because you playing with your own selves. And you're playing with your own lives. That's what you're doing. Next verse. Verse 15. Hear ye and give ear. Be not proud, for Ahaya have spoken. Don't be proud, people. Y'all too good. Y'all too good to listen to the prophet that he helped preserve in this earth for this hour. You're too good. You got too much pride. You only want to hear good things. You only want to hear you blessed. You only want to hear you're going to get a house. You're going to get a car. You're going to get your bills paid. God going to heal you from cancer. He's going to bless your children. That's what you want to hear. All good things. You don't want to hear nothing bad. But it's only bad for you people. That's all you have for your evil and wickedness. Because you've been proud against the God of Israel. You've been proud against the God that put you here. You've been proud. You don't want to pay a give ear to what he's telling you. I got people staying in my house right now. Won't even listen. Won't even listen. Proud. So very proud and so very arrogant. Hear ye and give ear. Be not proud. For higher has spoken. He's been speaking on this platform for 2 years now. A higher have spoken over and over again. Telling you people what he's going to do and why he's going to do it. He closed all your schools. They opened right back up. Now your kids die. He closed all your jobs and all your corporations and all that stuff was shut down. Now you got to be vaccinated to get a job. See, people, the God of Israel will give you warning. The God of Israel will show you what it is before it happens. Because that's the kind of God he is. He closed all your corporations. Y'all open them right back up. Now everybody got to be vaccinated to work at a company. Close your vacation clubs and your hotels and you open them back up. Now I've been hearing a lot on the news that people have been getting killed going on vacations and, you know, whole families just disappearing and they going on vacations. I read in the news today. The whole family went on a camping trip a week ago. They ain't heard from them people since. They vanished. See, the God of Israel don't want you people having no more fun and partying and you know, enjoying your life and doing what you want to do. That's over, people. And that's why you have COVID-19 because he don't want it anymore. He don't want to see it anymore. But you people trying to do it anyway. Proud. Jeremiah 13:15. The word proud is Hebrews 1:3-6:1. To soar, that is be lofty. Figuratively to be haughty. Exalted by haughty. Be made higher. Proud. Can't nobody tell you nothing. Can't nobody say, I got it already figured out how I'm going to do it, when I'm going to do it, and what I'm going to do. Can't nobody correct you. Bishop, pastor, elder, apostle, prophet. Can't nobody correct you because you proud. And that's why he told Jeremiah to tell the children of Israel to fill up the bottles of wine with wine so I can make the prophets and the priests and the kings drunk so I can kill them and dash every one of them against one another. I can destroy them. 13:16. Give glory unto Ahia. That's what Jeremiah told your God before he caused darkness. And for your feet stumble upon the dark mountains, and while you look for light, he turn it into the shadow of death and make it gross darkness. When you die, nothing but darkness, unless you go to the light. I know I already witnessed it. I already been there. It's gross darkness unless the God of Israel lead you to the light. I was led to the light, but I went through that gross darkness, the shadow of death. Give glory unto a higher, not Jesus, not Yah, not Buddha, not Allah, not none of them gods. Before your feet stumble, man, woman, boy, or girl, into the shadow of death. So many people's feet have stumbled into the shadow of death with COVID-19 and all other kind of diseases and deaths and catastrophes and freak accidents. I read on the news 3-4 days ago, a woman was sitting on the balcony. I think she was on a vacation or something. She was sitting on the balcony with her little 2-year-old daughter in her hand. I think her daughter was 2. She was young. And the woman fell 60 feet down to the ground with her little daughter in her hand. And both of them was dead on the scene. They both was dead right instantly. See, people, before your feet stumble, you must give the God of Israel glory. He's not going to accept what you've been doing any longer and anymore. You either give him glory, you either give him honor, you either serve him and obey him and do what his law tells you to do, or your feet will stumble, people. And again, that's another warning. This is when he not only killed a lot of the children of Israel in Jerusalem, he exiled them, sent them to Babylon. You know, he sent them to other countries, kicked them out of Jerusalem, exile. Verse 17. But if you will not hear it, my soul shall weep in secret places, Jeremiah said, for your pride. And my eyes shall weep sore and run down with tears because a higher flock is carried away captive. You see that? Carry away captive. For the word pride, your pride, Jeremiah 13:17, your pride, Hebrews 1:4-6, the same as exaltation, arrogancy, lifting up, pride, arrogancy, will not listen, will not stop, will not quit. I'm going to do whatever I want to do, no matter what. That's how you people are in worship today. Jeremiah 13:18. Say unto the king and to the queen. So it wasn't just kings in Jerusalem. They also had queens in Jerusalem. Humble yourself. So the God of Israel told them to humble themselves. Sit down, for your principalities shall come down, even a crown of your glory. What is the crown of your glory, people? Your government, your leadership, your rulership, your masters, your pharaohs. That's the crown of your glory. Mm-hmm. The children of Israel, crown of their glory, was their headship, their leadership, the kings that was in charge of Jerusalem. He says, calming down, people. They only have so long to rule. The people that's in control of this earth, they only have so long to rule, people. So the God of Israel is going to come and deal with everybody. Me, you, and everybody else. The cities of the south shall be shut up. talking about where Jerusalem, Judah was the southern kingdom, where the king and the queen lived. The cities of the south shall be set up, and none shall open them. Judah shall be carried away captive, all of it. It shall be wholly carried away captive. That's what happened to us in ancient times, and that's what's going to happen to Judah in modern times. The new world order, the order of this world, this new world that they trying to create now. This new world that they trying to create now going to have an order to it. That order will be whatever Satan, the Baphomet, tell them to do. So you and whoever else don't do what the God of Israel tell us to do, we'll be carried away captive by the order of this new world. That's deep, people. That is so very deep. You better get ready, people. You better get ready. And the only way you can get ready is go back to the law. Go back to the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of Israel. Go back, repent, tell him you're sorry. Tell him you're sorry for calling on Jesus and all them false gods. Go back, because he's the only one will be able to help you when the order is in place to apprehend us. Jeremiah 13:20. Lift up your eyes and behold them that come from the north. That's Babylon. They came for Judah. They stayed in Babylon 70 years in captivity. No, they didn't have no church over there. How long we been in just on this side of the world in captivity? For 400 years. Now, Judah and them didn't have no church. They didn't have no religions, no synagogues and all this stuff. They wasn't working. Yeah, if they was, they was working for the Babylonians, doing whatever they tell them to do. But they was in slavery, just like we are today. They didn't have no ministries and holy days and stuff that they was keeping, like you people doing. Paganism. Yeah, Judah, paganism. That's what you're doing. Lift up your eyes and behold them that come from the north. Ancient Babylon, Iraq today, came to the south kingdom, the southern kingdom, and took Judah, Benjamin, and Levi down. They went off, people. Behold, them that come from the north, where is the flock that was given thee? Thy beautiful flock. Thy beautiful flock. He called Judah his beautiful flock. Look at you now, Judah. Look at you now. You're not beautiful to the God of Israel now. You got all kind of sickness, all kind of disease. You're doing all kind of stuff with your body, with your hair, with your nails, with your eyebrows, with your lips. What beautiful flock. You are a defiled flock right now. What will thy say when he shall punish thee? For thou hast taught them to be captains, and as chiefs over thee, shall not sorrow take thee as a woman in travail? And if thou say in thy heart, where come these things unto me? For the greatness of thy iniquity are thy skirts discovered and thy heels made bare. For the greatness of your iniquity, Judah. For the greatness of your iniquity is real. For the greatness of your iniquity, Gentiles, is these diseases, plagues, pain, sorrow, death hit the earth. Destruction, earthquakes, volcanoes, all kind of stuff hit the earth. For the greatness of your iniquity, Israel, Gentiles. Can the Ethiopian change his skin? No, he cannot, because he's black as dust. He an African. Or the leper his spots? No, he cannot. Then may he also do good that is custom to do evil. He said, if the Ethiopian can change his skin color, tell him, Jeremiah, if the leper can get rid of his spots, I want you to do good. But because you people are so evil, you just like the Ethiopian, you cannot change from your wickedness. You won't let it go. You won't stop. You won't quit. You won't give in. You won't give up. You people are so very hard-hearted. So hard. So hard that the higher got to crack you wide open. That's what he going to do. Crack you wide open. And Revelation say, when he do that, you still. You still won't repent from your wickedness and your evil. When he get through cracking this earth, cracking up stuff, cracking up people, it says in Revelation, you still will not repent for your abominations and for your evil. Wow, people. Wow, wow, wow. At least back in ancient times, Judah and them did repent. They did. They got in Babylon. They cleaned themselves up. They straightened themselves out. They went back to Jerusalem, try to rebuild the temple and all of that. But not you people. Not you people. You worse than your ancestors. Therefore, will I scatter you, Jeremiah 13:24. Therefore, will I scatter them as the stubble that pass away by the wind in the wilderness. This is thy lot, the portion of thy measures. From me, said Ahiah, because thou hast forgotten me. What did I tell y'all? You have forgotten me. And the way you forget the God of Israel, you forget his law and what he told you to do. You have forgotten me, and you trust in false. You trust in lies. You believe lies. You believe fairy tales. You believe fairy tale doctrines. You trust in falsehood. All your gods are false. You trust in them, that they are real, that they can help you. Haven't you people figured out yet that your gods are false and they cannot help you? And they cannot stop me? You haven't figured that out yet, huh? People might not never figure that out. Why? Because you are very arrogant, and you very wicked, and you full of a lot of pride. Therefore, when I discover thy skirts, 26 verse, 13 Jeremiah, upon thy face, that thy shame may appear. I have seen your shame. It's going to appear now. I have discovered thy skirts. I just have discovered your sin. I have discovered your wickedness. And I'm going to display it before the whole earth. Your shame will appear. I have seen thy adulteries and thy naggings, the lewdness of thy whoredom and thy abominations on the hills and the fields. Woe unto thee, O Jerusalem. Will thy not be made clean? When shall it be once? The God of Israel, Ahia, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob said, when will it be one time, Hebrews? When will it be one time that you will be clean? Y'all people have been filthy. Have been filthy from generation to generation to generation to generation. When will we ever be clean? You are not clean because you're serving Jesus. And Yah and Most High and Allah, when will you be clean one time? Hebrews, the God of Israel is asking you a question today. When will you be clean one time? You're so filthy. You're so polluted. You're so defiled in the eyes of the God of Israel. And you refuse to clean yourselves up, people. I have one more after that. 1 Samuel 4:7-11. This is the last one, people. And I'm getting ready to go. I'm getting ready to go. I'm not going to read no news article or nothing. I'm getting ready to go. 1 Samuel 4:7. Not one time have you people been clean. Israel, Gentiles, I'm saved and I'm sanctified and I'm filled with the Holy Ghost and I know I'm saved. I know I'm right with God. And yeah, I'm right with God. I don't sin. I ain't doing nothing. Oh, my God. Not one time the God of Israel told Jeremiah, have you people been clean? And the Philistines were afraid, but they said, God is come into the camp. And they said, woe unto us. For there have not been such a thing here too. The Philistines and the Canaanites and the Jebusites, they lived over there in Canaan or around that area. They said, God has come into the camp. 1 Samuel 4:8. Woe unto us. Who shall deliver us out of the hand of these mighty gods? These are the gods that smocked the Egyptians with all the plagues in the wilderness. These be the gods. Y'all think it's just the Godhead? Three in one, y'all been taught that madness through your Catholic churches and all your Bible theologian seminar schools? 1 Samuel 4:8, woe unto us. Who shall deliver us? Who shall deliver Babylon? Who shall deliver Egypt? Modern day Egypt. All over the earth. Who shall deliver us out of the hand of these mighty gods? G-O-D-S. You want me to show you who these gods is? Let me show you who these gods is that the Philistines are talking about. They're not just talking about one god. They're talking about three gods. It's three gods in heaven. Three gods. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Or the Father, the Mother, and the Holy Spirit, and the Son. Those are the gods. Those are the mighty gods. Who shall deliver us? Who gonna help you, Jews? Who gonna help you, Gentiles, Hebrews? Who gonna deliver you out of the hands of these gods that have plagued this earth with COVID-19, with death and destruction and disease and pain? Who shall deliver us out of the hands of these gods, these mighty gods? Jesus, can he deliver us? No. Can Baal deliver us? That's who the Philistine god was, Baal and Astra. Can they deliver us out of the hands of these mighty gods? No, Baal can't deliver you, which is Jehovah in modern time. Astra can't deliver you, which is Maria or Guadalupe or Mary in modern times. Queen Mother of Heaven, they call her. No one can deliver us out of the hands of these mighty gods. These are the gods. G-O-D-S. Look it up for yourself. 1 Samuel 4:8. 1 Samuel 4:8. It's three gods in heaven. Not one. Three. But the Father is over all the rest of them. He called all the shots and all the orders. He said, these are the gods that smote the Egyptians. So it wasn't just God the Father. He had his Son there, and he had the Holy Spirit there. And he also had his heavenly host, his servants, his ministers of fire, with all the plagues in the wilderness. And when you look up the word right here, gods, it say gods in an ordinary sense. Let's go back to Genesis chapter 2. Let me show you something real quick, and I'm getting ready to leave. Genesis 2. I think it's Genesis 1. Genesis 1. Come on, come on, come on. Get away now. Go on, go, go, go. Let me find the scripture, people. Give me a minute. 2. Yes, I'm going to find it. Give me 1 minute. Okay. Get right now. Right now. I'm getting ready to leave. Genesis 1:26. Genesis 1:26. And it say, and God said, let us, see that? Us, those are the same gods that the Philistines are talking about, that they are mighty gods, and who will deliver them out of the hands of the mighty gods? Because those mighty gods is the same gods that destroyed Egypt and brought the plagues in the wilderness and killed the children of Israel in the wilderness. Let us, it say, Genesis 1:26. And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creep upon earth. Let us make man in our image. Our image. Those are those gods that the Philistines, the Father, the Holy Spirit, the Mother, and the Son, Yeshua. Those are the gods that he told them, let us make man in our image. And look what he said, Genesis 1:27. So God created man in his own image, and in the image of God created he him, male and female. So it was a female, the mother, the Holy Spirit, up in the heavens with the God of Israel, where he created, this earth. He said, let us make man in our image. So let me go back to Samuel. I just wanted to show you that. Let us make a male and female. Genesis 4. Yeah, the mother, the Holy Spirit, is a female, feminine spirit. Look it up in the Hebrew. Look up spirit in the Hebrew. You're going to see feminine. First Samuel 4:7. Let me take it back down here. You ready, Lee? And it say, woe, verse 8, woe unto us, who shall deliver us out of the hand of these mighty gods? These are the gods that smoked the Egyptians with all the plagues. All the plagues that you see now going on in the earth is the same God that did them back then. He's doing them today. The Egyptians with all the plagues in the wilderness. All the plagues that went on in the wilderness, the children of Israel started dropping dead because they couldn't breathe. They couldn't catch their breath. Same stuff you people do today. Plagues in the wilderness. Look what it say. Hebrews 4:3-4:7 for plagues. A blow in of the fail by implication, a wound. Carnage, also pestilence, beaten, blow, plague, slaughter, smock. Strip, stroke, wounded. The plagues in the wilderness, these are the same God. The Philistines said that took down Egypt and put the plagues in the wilderness. It's the same gods today. It's the same gods. The Father, the Mother, and the Son, and his heavenly host at their orders. At their orders. Verse 9. Be strong and quit yourselves like men, O ye Philistines, that you be not servants unto the Hebrews. Hebrew nation. The nation that don't nobody know about. The nation that don't nobody talk about. The nation that don't nobody teach about in their history. In their history schools, classes, universities, colleges, the Hebrew nation and the Hebrew God. The Philistines knew exactly who they was. The mighty God. Can't nobody deliver us out of their hands. Can't nobody deliver you out of their hands. Nobody, none of your gods. Jah and on none of the rest of them. So with that people, as they have been to the quit yourselves like men and fight. So with that people, I'm going to stop it right there. God's law versus the law of the land. 613 laws in the Bible. The sacrifice. Audio number 26. We will pick it up at law number 501 Tuesday. Audio 27. This is Sister Radio Talk Show. We will talk to you later. And Shabbat Shalom to you, remnant. Talk to y'all next week. God of Israel says, okay. No one will ever stop the God of the heaven, Father, the Mother, and the Son. Let us make man in our image and in our likeness, and let us create male and female. Talk to y'all later. the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of Ahiah, the God of the Hebrew nation. He's all power. Stay tuned, people. Stay tuned. Oh, I forgot to tell y'all that I read a news article about 3 or 4 days ago. A fireball. NASA with their drones or however they look up into space. They saw a fireball coming towards North Carolina. A fireball coming towards North Carolina. They called it a fireball in the news. And I told y'all people about 2 years ago when I first started this broadcast, the God of Israel told me that he was going to send fireballs to this earth. To this earth to deal with the wicked. And they already spotted the fireball, people. That's what they called it in the news, the fireball. And that was a prophecy that he gave me a year and a half ago, almost 2 years ago, close to 2 years, that the fireball, he gave me a dream about it and everything, that the fireballs was going to come and deal and burn up the wicked and the ones that go against the God of Israel. I'll talk to y'all later.